City of stars, are you shining just for me?
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Ray Suarez, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Last year, the Academy Awards took a lot of heat with the hashtag OscarsSoWhite. This year, Hidden Figures, Moonlight, Fences, and Lion. Diverse stories and casts that got people hitting the theaters. But the classic musical La La Land leads them all with 14 nominations, including 2 for Best Song. You're listening to one now. Is today's Hollywood getting more diverse? More political? We'll take a look. This hour, On Point, the Oscars. Joining us now from Culver City, California, is Andrea Mandel, West Coast Entertainment Editor for USA Today. Andrea, welcome to On Point.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Also joining us from Culver City, California, Travel Anderson, film reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Travel, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, apparently it's time to forget Citizen Kane and Battleship Potemkin and Best Years of Our Lives. 14 nominations for La La Land. Kind of amazing, but it's been... let's set that aside and talk about that later. Has this been a good year for Hollywood, Travel?
I think on the surface, everyone would say that it has been a good year for Hollywood. We've seen an increase in diversity and representation. But I think when you look a little deeper at it, there still is a long way to go.
And Andrea, same question.
I would agree with that. I think the consensus is right now that we're inching forward. You know, I think everybody is starting to really push for the fact that universal stories happen in, you know, these love stories and stories of pain and grief. They happen in every culture. We need to see that reflected on screen. So we're getting more of that this year. But, you know, there are huge holes. I mean, the Latino community is not represented this year. The Asian community, aside from, I would say, Dev Patel's nomination in Lion, is not really represented this year. So we can always do better. But I would say we're taking a step forward, especially from the past 2 years.
How was business this year, Andrea?
At the box office? Mm-hmm. Booming. I mean, if you look at, I think it's really interesting this year. You have La La Land that's made about $135 million at the box office. You have Hidden Figures that's about $10 million ahead of that, about $146. So these two of our Best Picture nominees are probably going to hit $150 million. And that's pretty remarkable, I think. I mean, more people have seen these films this year than in, I think, the past several years that we've had our Best Picture list come together.
Travel, a couple of years ago, they expanded the number of nominated films for Best Picture. Is it working? Is it having its desired effect? Are more deserving pictures getting more recognition? Is the nominating process taking a wider cut at the output of Hollywood over a year?
I would say yes. I think, at least in the industry, we all say that one of the other reasons why they expanded it from 5 movies to 10 is so that they could kind of lump in some of these movies that end up being more commercially successful, but not necessarily critics' darlings, you know, for the whole ratings conversation around the Oscars. What I will say has been an added fact is that, as you said, there's more films, more diverse representations that have a chance at getting that, you know, coveted prize of a nomination, let alone having the potential to win.
In the Best Picture nominated sci-fi movie, Arrival, Dr. Louise Banks, played by Amy Adams, is a linguist who's been called in to figure out how to communicate with aliens when they show up on our planet in 12 ships. In this scene, Dr. Banks takes off her safety hazmat suit in order to communicate with them.
Yeah, fine. They need to see me.
Take it off her hazmat suit. Dr. Banks.
Cool.
Are you okay?
You're risking contamination.
They need to see me.
Dr. Banks.
She's walking toward the screen.
Now that's a proper introduction.
The panting Amy Adams there. We also had the Hollywood recreation of a stage play by August Wilson, Fences, and it has 4 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture. It focuses on the relationship between Troy Maxson, a garbage collector living in Pittsburgh in the 1950s,
and his wife, Rose. Troy is played by Denzel Washington, who also directed the movie. Rose is played by Viola Davis. In this scene, the two tell a friend the story of how they met.
I looked at here, looked at there, saw Rose, and I latched on to her. I latched on to her, and I told her. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I latched on to her and told her, baby, I don't want to marry. I just want to be your man. Rose told me. Tell him what you told me, Rose.
I told him if he wasn't a mankind, then move out the way so the mankind could find me.
Yeah, nobody's going to say Oscar's so white this year, are they, Trevelle?
No, they're not saying it's so white. I think, though, people are kind of still pushing the fact that Oscar So White is intended to be a conversation about Hollywood diversity and inclusion, broadly speaking, not just looking at the Academy. And even if you are going to focus on the Academy, a lot of the behind the scenes and below the line talent, right, are still, you know, not as diverse as they potentially could be.
Trevelle Anderson writes about film for the Los Angeles Times. He joins me from California along with Andrea Mandel, West Coast Entertainment Editor for USA Today. Our number is 800-423-8255. Now, La La Land. I walked out of La La Land and I thought, well, that was enjoyable. I saw it with my 17-year-old daughter and my wife, and they nodded and they said, yeah, that was fun. That was nice. And yet, every time we saw an article in our local newspaper and the other newspapers we get that raved about it in a way that beggared all reason, I thought, wait a minute, maybe I saw a slightly different movie, the one that didn't have singers who can't sing and utterly forgettable music, the La La Land that didn't have a Los Angeles with no Mexicans in it. I don't even know how you scout locations and find a Los Angeles with no Mexicans in it. I thought, wait a minute. If you want to do candy box color and slightly surreal locations, why don't you rent One from the Heart by Francis Ford Coppola, which did it better? If you want a love story about people trying and striving to get ahead in show business who are both in love and slightly competitive with each other, rent New York, New York with Robert De Niro and Liza Minnelli, which has a Candor and Ebb score, which is much better than that forgettable, unhummable La La Land score. And if you want people who can't sing, rent Everyone Says I Love You by Woody Allen, which did it much better. I don't get. I enjoyed it. And the thing is, people say, oh, come on, you, what's the matter with you? It was fun. And I say, yes, yes, it was fun. Absolutely. It was a bonbon. It was a confection. It was, a half a cup of egg white becoming an enormous pile of meringue. I just don't get it. Andrea, help me here.
Tell me how you really feel, right? You know, you sound like some members of my family. Like, I begged everyone I knew to see this movie. I saw this movie, first of all, at the Toronto Film Festival for the first time. Nobody had seen it yet except for it had premiered at the Venice Film Festival. But it blew the roof off the place, okay? So I saw it pre-hype, and I think that's an important part of this conversation, because when a lot of journalists and critics see films at film festivals before anyone else, they want to talk about it and they want to talk about how excited they are about it. And the problem is that it resets expectations. And I think by the time this film started rolling out to various theaters, critics had fallen so hard for this film that people went in. The same thing happened with Gravity. I mean, people go in and their expectations are so high that I don't know how a film could live up to that. Now, that said, I completely disagree with you, and I loved La La Land. I do. I think it's a masterpiece of somewhat low budget filmmaking. It was made for $30 million. People forget this. What Damien Chazelle accomplished on $30 million, I think, is remarkable. From its cinematography to its just stunning vistas, and I thought the dancing was great, and I thought their singing was perfectly adequate. And I've seen it several times, and I always float out of the theater. So I know that a lot of people argue about this. I argue about this all the time with people, but I think it's very deserving.
Trevelle?
I think I'm in the middle between you two. I didn't love
that's
it.
That's a safe
I didn't
space,
hate
I think.
It. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I think it is deserving of all the attention that it's getting, solely because of the feat of doing an original musical set in modern times in this particular industry. To pull that off is an amazing thing. And I think that's why, one of the reasons why it's getting all of this attention. But like you, I am a lover of musicals. I love you know, the big singing, the over-the-top dancing. Like, musicals are my thing. And it does not reach that for me. But I do think Damien and the entire La La Land team are very deserving of the attention that they're getting. Because to pull this off for $30 million is really kind of amazing.
Michelle is in West Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Ray. Sorry. Hello, Ray. Thank you. I agree with you. It's almost like the emperor has no clothes. With La La Land. Sorry.
But wait a minute. Now, let me be clear. I liked it. I think I just didn't like it enough. Did you like
exactly.
it, Michelle?
I liked it. I've watched musicals when I was very young. There was always, you know, you had four channels as opposed to now where you have 300 or whatever. And then that was a Hollywood musical. I mean, if you're comparing that to La La Land now, I just don't see what the big thing is. I'm sorry. I really want to talk to someone. How did it touch them so that I'm looking at it saying, okay, I liked it. It was a nice movie, but Oscar worthy? Yeah, sorry.
Michelle is in West Hartford, Connecticut. We go out with music from the sci-fi film Arrival, starring Amy Adams. The score composed by Johan Johansson is up for an Oscar.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage and get a secure, transparent home loan approval in minutes. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
This is On Point. I'm Ray Suarez, in for Tom Ashbrook. That's music from the Oscar-nominated film Moonlight. It's up for an Oscar for its score, composed by Nicholas Britell. We're talking about the Oscars, which airs Sunday. You can join the conversation. Have the Oscars owned up to diversity, embraced politics, or is it just the same old to you? We're talking with Andrea Mandel, West Coast Entertainment Editor for USA Today, and Trevell Anderson, film reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Nominated for 6 Academy Awards, Lion tells the true story of an Indian boy separated from his family who's adopted by an Australian couple. 25 years later, Saru Braerly, played by Dev Patel, returns to India to search for his lost family.
Do you have any idea what it's like knowing my real brother and mother spend every day of their lives looking for me? Huh? How every day my real brother screams my name. Can you imagine the pain they must be in not knowing where I am?
Kay is calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. Kay, welcome to the program.
Hi, Ray. I want to talk about La La Land first and then Lion. I saw La La Land and I left shaking my head. I don't understand how it could have won 14 nominations. The first hour was boring. It finally picked up in the second. But it still was a nothing film. That's what really gets me. I just don't understand what all the acclaim is. As far as Lion, that's one of the best pictures I've ever seen. There was not a dry eye in that theater when it was over. And that was out of joy. This is one of the most beautiful films that's ever been made. And I urge people to see it if they haven't. It is wonderful.
Kay, thanks for your call. We'll go next to Charlotte, North Carolina, where Eileen is on the line. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, Ray. Well, I feel much the same way as the caller before you, although I saw La La Land, and I thought it was really a very, very good movie. And I enjoyed it. I thought the screenplay was particularly interesting, which, you know, I don't want to go into because it would give it away. But, you know, I thought it was very good and very well put together. But there are two films that I saw which I just think are far superior films. One was Fences, which I think really highlighted for me. I had seen it on Broadway, and I actually enjoyed this version of it, and I think it shows what a great American play it is, and it stands with Death of a Salesman and, you know, other great American, Streetcar Named Desire. It's just a magnificent play, but I think the best film I saw was Lion. And again, like the previous caller said, it's a magnificent film. I think people need to see it. I think it's unfortunate that it hasn't been advertised as much as it should be. But Dev Patel was very good, but I have to say, and I don't know his name, the young actor who played him as a child was just wonderful, as well as all the performances. So I hope people will go and see that.
Eileen, thanks a lot for your call. Trevelle Anderson, does the expansion of the Best Picture category make room for films like Lion? When Eileen talks about the promotion and the lack of promotion for a movie like this, is part of the problem that the Oscars are on the cusp of March 2017 and gather up into their arms anything that's come out since December of 2015?
You know, I think the marketing point is an interesting one. But when we see films like A Lion that most people would look at as kind of a specialty type of film, the industry is very kind of particular about how they go about promoting it. So, you know, if you're in, you know, the Midwest, you might not see as much promotion for a film like Lion as opposed to if you're on the two coasts. But I just to say I loved Lion, one of the best ones of the year for me. It might have been the best if there wasn't Moonlight in the picture, but I'm sure we'll get there.
Andrea Mandel?
I just wanted to point out one of the callers had asked who that little actor who plays Saru is, and his name is Sonny Pawar. He's 8 years old, and he was cast out of thousands of children in India. So, and I've seen him on all these little red cars. He's so small,
so
and
cute.
He's so sweet. So, sorry, I got totally distracted thinking about this cute child. But I do think that different markets see different films. I mean, I know that when I was talking about various films that I was passionate about, you know, a lot of those films hadn't even reached most markets a month in. And so that really does affect its kind of Oscar chances and its big picture game.
We're getting comments from our website. John Cannon writes, I will be brave and admit I liked La La Land. Parts
Thanks.
Of it were great. Hacksaw Ridge was an unexpected pleasure. Very well done. Great acting by the lead. The movie that's getting no attention but deserves more is Jackie. Natalie Portman was great. Mari writes, I'm rooting for Viola Davis and Lin-Manuel Miranda. Don't really care much about the rest. Thinkin' 15 writes, La La Land was a snore. Sorry, folks, but I was so disappointed with this movie. Why cast two lead actors who were not singers, musicians, or dancers? Surely there are well-known actors who have these talents and didn't have to be trained in those areas for a specific film. She could barely squeak out the songs, painful to watch. Their dances were so tepid, it was like they were dancing on eggshells. For all it's a story of Hollywood praise, it didn't even have a Hollywood ending. Completely overrated. Fences, Lion, Moonlight, Hidden Figures, all much more worthy of awards and great entertainment. Tarvia writes, among other things that made me scratch my head were the raves for La La Land, which I found to be a bland derivation of much better musicals. Is that earworm of a song that Ryan Gosling writes? Is he allegedly in love with jazz, yet writes a song that becomes the soundtrack for the movie that has nothing to do with jazz? You go, Ray. I utterly agree with your response. See, I'm chasing all the closet La La Land detractors out
of me. Do you get any other calls?
Hacksaw Ridge, directed by Mel All Is Forgiven Gibson. Is that getting enough attention?
I mean, I think it's been getting attention once again just for the idea that, you know, there can be a comeback. It was a fine movie. It didn't really make me run around the room, but it's a fine movie.
I would agree with that. I mean, nobody has contested that Mel Gibson is a very solid filmmaker. Mm-hmm. His personal troubles have clouded that over the years. But he keeps coming back and making effective features. But I especially think this year there were just other films that dominated the spotlight.
Our commenter noted Lin-Manuel Miranda, and maybe a lot of people listening to the show didn't realize he was an Oscar nominee this time around. He's gotten so much praise for the musical Hamilton. He's nominated for Best Song from an animated feature, Moana. How's that category looking?
Animated feature, I believe it's Moana, Zootopia, Kubo and the Two Strings. My Life as Zucchini and The Red Turtle. I think the front runner is Zootopia. I know a lot of people have seen it and they love its kind of commentary on race and identity through this animal storyline. But yeah, in the song category, Moana is nominated, Lin-Manuel Miranda. But, you know, that category probably most likely will go to the beloved La La Land.
And I just wanted to say, I think one of the coolest things about this year's show, all five Best Original Song nominees are performing. So it's probably going to feel like a mini Grammys, because yeah, you have Justin Timberlake singing Can't Stop the Feeling from Trolls. You have John Legend performing both songs from Audition. I think very neatly stepping in for his co-stars there.
On purpose.
Lin-Manuel is performing How Far I'll Go from Moana. Sting will be there, and I'm totally blanking on our fifth nominee. But it's going to be really cool, mm-hmm. And you know, you don't always get that kind of song and dance break during the Oscars telecast.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, if he were to win, would become the youngest person to win an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. Let's go next to Wainscott, New York. Amy's calling. Hi, Amy.
Oh, hi. Hi, Ray. It's an honor and a pleasure to talk to you. I've listened to you for a very long time. I just wanted to put in a plug for Moonlight. Maybe I missed the discussion when I was talking to your producer, but, you know, I came out of La La Land. I loved it. It was an upper. It got me out of my Trump, you know, depression for 5 minutes. I was grateful for it. But Moonlight has stayed with me. I see it as such a profound movie. One of your guests said in the beginning that part of the diversity, you know, way to increase diversity in film is to realize that universal themes, you know, apply to everybody and can be portrayed by people of different races, cultures, etc. Moonlight was a film about tenderness, coming of age, sexual identity, love, addiction, poverty, too. But, you know, I as a 63-year-old white, straight mother, had really little in common with the characters in that movie. And yet I came away identifying with them so completely. I just thought it was a beautiful, almost perfect movie. And one more thing, that at the end, I mean, they could have wrapped it up, made a happy ending, a sad ending. It was a subtle ending, you know, just that look between them. And I just found it so moving.
Amy from Wainscott, New York. And Amy, I'm glad you're highlighting Moonlight, because it's true. It has gotten a lot of critical praise. It tells the story of a young black man from childhood to manhood. As a boy, Sharon, played by Alex Hibbert, is hiding from some bullies when he's found by a drug dealer named Juan, played by Mahershala Ali. In this scene, Juan takes the boy back to his own home, where Sharon's neglectful mother, Paula, an addict, played by Naomi Harris, also nominated, meets them at the door.
What happened, Sharon? Why you didn't come home like you're supposed to? Huh? And who is you?
Nobody. I found him yesterday. Some boys chased him in the cut. He's scared more than anything. He wouldn't tell me where he lived till this morning.
Well, thanks for seeing to him. He usually can take care of himself. Be good that way.
From the picture Moonlight, I'm Ray Suarez. You're listening to On Point. Trevell Anderson, is Moonlight one of those pictures that can give La La Land a run for its money in the Best Picture category?
I think the battle is between Moonlight and La La Land. Moonlight for me was transcendent. It was everything. And I think its presence in this conversation, if it does win Best Picture, I think it does a little bit more for this diversity and inclusion conversation and pushing the industry forward than a film like La La Land might.
Boy, Andrea Mandel, would this movie even have been made not all that long ago? If you gave somebody the elevator précis on what this movie's about, I could see a producer or potential producer saying, you know, I'm not sure that I can raise a couple of million bucks to make this.
I think it's really important to remember that this movie did not start in the studio system. And a lot of the most important and specific stories that achieve this kind of emotional depth do not start in the studio system. This was an independent film made for $1.5 million. It was a film that was adapted from a Pulitzer Prize winning writer. I mean, this was based on real stories. And one of the biggest discussions in Hollywood right now is how to not just acquire these stories and then push them forward as Oscar contenders, but how to actually support them and to employ the screenwriters who write them and to put people inside, I would say, the Hollywood Beltway that can bring these stories to the forefront. I mean, Moonlight is very special, but it didn't start in Hollywood. It started with Barry Jenkins, and it started with a couple cameras in Miami and actors who took pay cuts, and Naomi Harris, who took 3 days off her Spectre, you know, international press tour to shoot this. She shot it in 3 days. So, you know, you get to this point of the Oscar race and everything is so glamorous and so big, and it's La La Land versus Moonlight. And these are conversations we're having, and I understand why, but it's really important to remember that a lot of the gems that we see on our screens start out as tiny projects with passionate people behind them. And then late in the game, studios come in and say, I want to acquire this and I want to distribute it and promote it, but they didn't actually fund it from the beginning. And that's the change we need to see.
Is that up from under trajectory? Quite different from the studio system of the 40s and 50s, busting open movies, making it possible for us to see product that we wouldn't have seen before. Travel?
I feel like these films have always been around. It's just, I mean, this is what film festivals are for.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we find these great stories that are diverse and have rich storytelling on the festival circuit. And these festival circuits has been going on. And when I say the festival circuit, I don't necessarily mean your Sundances, your Tellurides, your Torontos. I mean your Outfests, your LA Film Festival, you know, the film festival in your local community that was, you know, a film made by someone who's like fresh out of college type situation. Those are where very rich stories are. And Moonlight is one of those examples. It was written based on an unproduced play by Terrell Alvin McCraney, who is a black gay man. And he's actually in charge of the Yale playwriting program right now. But, you know, it was produced from kind of his own personal experience, the experience of someone who, as Andrea said, is not in Hollywood, probably might not ever get into Hollywood. But through kind of the Miami local art scene, his play got to Barry Jenkins, and Barry Jenkins, over a number of years, you know, was able to adapt it. And the folks at Plan B and A24 believed in the story enough to figure out how they're going to get $1.5 million together. And he created this amazing product for us.
Travel Anderson joins us from Culver City, California, along with Andrea Mandel. We're talking about the diversity and politics of this year's Oscars. I'm Ray Suarez, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll go out with the Oscar-nominated song Never Give Up by Sia from the movie Lion.
Get in up when I have the
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage and get a secure, transparent home loan approval in minutes. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
I know everybody on this island seems so happy on this island. Everything is by design.
This is On Point. I'm Ray Suarez, in for Tom Ashbrook. That's the Oscar-nominated song How Far I'll Go from Moana, written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. We're talking about the Oscars this hour, and you can join the conversation. What do you think of today's diverse political Hollywood? Is it driving you to the theaters? We're talking with Andrea Mandel, West Coast Entertainment Editor for USA Today, and Trevell Anderson, film reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Chachmaster 3000 on Twitter. Hilarious. La La is a bit self-congratulating. I very much enjoyed it, but I found Arrival and Hidden Figures more memorable. Anne writes, I was just listening to the La La Land soundtrack. I find it so joyful, and the color and sweep of the film. That said, I hope Hidden Figures wins. Thomas writes, Moonlight is the best picture, in my opinion. It's also an important film. La La Land is not a great film. And JP writes, Moonlight. Acting, cinematography, screenwriting, score, whole profound paradigm-shifting package. La La Land, meh. And from our website, Lion is based on a true story. It's an amazing, moving story. Bridget writes, I have to assume that those voicing their opinions have not seen Moonlight. Moonlight is an amazing, beautiful, indescribably moving movie, head and shoulders above the rest. Fences was very good, just not as good as Moonlight. We'll go next to Centerville, Mass. Bonnie, welcome to On Point.
Thank you, Ray.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hello?
Yes, hi, Bonnie.
Hi there. I picked Argo a couple of years ago, and I also picked Spotlight for Best Picture. So I'm really worried about my track record this year, though, because my favorite is Hidden Figures, and that's the one I would like to see win Best Film. However, I think because of the warmth and beautiful colors and story of La La Land, it will probably take Best Film. I did see Manchester by the Sea, and I think Casey Affleck should get Best Actor for that, and I haven't heard anyone mention it. I thought it was a wonderful, completely memorable film. Those are my three favorites. I did like Jackie. Unfortunately, I haven't seen Moonlight or Lion yet, but I plan to.
Manchester by the Sea is nominated for 6 Academy Awards. It tells the story of Lee Chandler, played by nominee, as was mentioned, Casey Affleck, who returns to New England, to his hometown, to take care of his teenage nephew after his brother's unexpected death. Now, in this scene, Patrick, played by Best Supporting Actor nominee Lucas Hedges, tries to convince Lee he doesn't want to move to Boston with him.
What's in Boston? You're a janitor.
So what?
You could do that anywhere. There's plenty of toilets and clogged up drains all over town.
I don't want to.
All my friends are here. I'm on the hockey team. I'm on the basketball team. I gotta maintain our boat now. I work on George's boat 2 days a week. I got 2 girlfriends, and I'm in a band. You're a janitor in Quincy. What the hell do you care where you live?
Manchester by the Sea, I have not seen, but everybody I talk to who has seen it says, wow, depressing. But good depressing, like well done depressing. Is it harder for those kinds of films to compete in the current Oscar vote, or do they have an inside track because drama tends to outshine comedy?
I think people really love Manchester by the Sea. For those very reasons, Michelle Williams and Casey Affleck's performances are really amazing, deeply emotional. They pull you in and draw you in. I think, however, there just are, I don't like to say better movies, but they're just different movies that make you feel differently, that are out there in this space this year that have kind of really taken over this last minute of conversation around the Oscars. But Manchester by the Sea was one of those films at the beginning of the year, or last year, I should say, that everyone was saying this is, you know, a front runner. La La Land and Hidden Figures and Moonlight just kind of popped up and have taken over the conversation.
And I do think on the industry side, I mean, Manchester is a big triumph for Amazon, which picked up Manchester by the Sea at the Sundance Film Festival mm-hmm. last year. So this is really their first big play in awards season. And I think it will benefit them. I think Manchester will take Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of neck and neck, I think, between Casey Affleck and Denzel Washington for Best Supporting Actor at this point. I think Casey Affleck was seen to be a lock in mm-hmm. the fall. Mm-hmm. But Denzel Washington has kind of gone on a charm offensive, I call it, recently. And he's shaking the hands and kissing the babies. And, you know, to me, that's one of the tightest races right now.
Yeah, that's the one to watch.
Yeah.
Our caller also talked about Hidden Figures, and it seems to me that there's a lot of feel-good buzz about Hidden Figures, that people really took to the story of the undersung heroines of the early space race.
Yeah, I think that that feel-good moment is what people need right now, and that's one of the reasons why people have flocked to it. In addition to it being great storytelling, amazing performances by Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, and the fabulous, wonderful Janelle Monáe, who was also in Moonlight, it just feels good, and it's a great kind of American story that brings people together despite their differences.
And how wonderful to have a story about three women, three yes. African-American women at the forefront of their own story. I mean, it's a joy to watch. We ran a poll from Fandango this week that, you know, most people who voted in this particular survey wanted Hidden Figures to win Best yeah. Picture. I think it's the popular choice.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
We'll go back to the phones, 800-423-8255. We'll go to Danvers, Massachusetts, and George. Hiya, George.
Hi, Ray. Thank you for taking my call. I just like to talk about, you know, Natalie, Manchester by the Sea. The reason I want to talk about it is because being a recovering alcoholic myself, I totally identify with those feelings of guilt and mental anguish. And, you know, trying to go forward and you get caught up on that fight every day, but you try to function good reality. And deep inside, you only know yourself better than no one else does. But the truth is, it hit me like that. But I just wish the ending would have been a little different, like if he would have just went to an AA meeting and kind of reflect about what went on and some kind of retention. It's almost like the dear Godfather, you know, his story three was sitting in the living room. Anyways, that's it for me.
You know, George, troubles with substance abuse and particularly alcohol has a very, very long backstory in Hollywood, and has been told. That story has been told a great deal. So when you say that it's particularly effective and really depicts the realities of that life, I have to take that seriously. I was having dinner with a friend last night, and he said when he saw Manchester by the Sea, somebody yelled out at the end, "That's it? That's the ending?" Because there was no Hollywood ending. There was no feel-good walk out of the movie feeling that the main character had been redeemed moment at the end. Opelika, Alabama is next. Sorry, Steve. Steve is calling. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for taking my phone call. Several comments I'd like to make. One, a bold one, if I may be politically incorrect, about La La Land. This may be jaded. However, I sense that all the hype for La La Land may be attributed to that Hollywood loves stories about themselves.
Fair enough. Who doesn't? Who doesn't like a story about themselves?
Well, having said that, I've seen a number of the other movies who I feel like, you know, haven't gotten the recognition they, I think, need to. And I don't know if they probably will get Best Picture, but that includes Hacksaw Ridge. These movies about human experiences and human drama, to me, you know, really touched me. I was tearful in that movie. I was tearful in The Lion. Great acting. Fences. had me at first being quite angry at Denzel, but great acting was pardoned by Olivia and what she had to endure with him. By the end of the movie, I felt sad for him. And that to me is a great hallmark of great acting. And then Hidden Figures. I just sort of don't understand why it hasn't got the publicity that I believe it is so richly deserved. You know, had I been told about this in my history class, I probably wouldn't have fell asleep, maybe, as much as I did. And I love the acting by all the three African-American women, but even more so the acting by Kevin Costner, the courage that it took for him that I don't know I would have had, which he tears down the sign above the women's restroom that said for colored women only. Before that, I never knew that NASA, you know, treated minorities in that fashion. I thought that was only, you know, in other places. So all these moves to me just... have not got, I think, the recognition that La La Land has gotten, and I'm not sure why. Maybe I'm just not sophisticated enough. I don't get it. But I hope, you know, more movies come about that depict the real human drama in real life, not in the fictional part that La La Land portrays.
Well, Steve, by your own admission, you may not be much of a history student, but you sure are a good student of the movies, and you're giving us a real tour of the waterfront there. You've seen most of the contending pictures. Thanks a lot for your views. Let's go next to Cambridge, Mass., where Billy Joe is standing by. Hi, Billy Joe.
Hi. How are you today?
Okay.
I have a comment and a question. I'm kind of in the Manchester by the Sea camp. I think it's a film about deep humanity. It doesn't solve the problems that it raises. And I think we're a country that's in grieving. A lot of us are in grieving, so I think it really resonates. I'm also disappointed with all the nominations for La La Land. After the opening spectacular scene, it didn't move me. And then I have a question. Why is Emma Stone nominated for Best Actress and Viola Davis nominated for Best Supporting Actress? Because they seem to both be in movies where there's, a couple, and they both seem to have the same number of lines and import in the plot.
That's a great question. And believe it or not, you're not the first person to ask it. How are these decisions made, my expert guests, Travel and Andrea? Why is Viola Davis nominated for Best Supporting?
You know, I'm glad that came up because there's a bit of category shopping that mm-hmm. goes on during awards season. I mean, studios position their talent in categories they think they will do the best. So... a few months ago, it became apparent that Viola Davis had chosen to compete in Best Supporting Actress versus Best Actress because Best Actress, for various reasons, I mean, it's a very super competitive category this year, but that certainly was, I believe, done with her permission. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not like she was bumped.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, the Oscars in Hollywood, it's a very political game, and they want to make sure that their talent has the best chance to win in the supporting actress category. Around the time that Fences was coming out and people were beginning to talk about it, kind of the only person that people were really enthralled with was Michelle Williams from Manchester by the Sea. The moment they decided to run Viola in that category, unfortunately for Michelle, no one's talking about her anymore, and Viola is the sure in for that award. If anyone else wins, it will be the biggest upset of the night.
Yeah, I think we'll see Viola Davis walk off that stage with a little gold man, and I am thrilled.
It's amazing. She deserves it.
It is time.
It's about time. Yeah.
I'm Ray Suarez. You're listening to On Point. Now, Viola Davis, does the... You know, people who write about movies and people who talk about movies for a living often refer to previous Oscar nights and the attempts of the Academy to make up for past balloting. Is that real? Does that end up really mattering? Does the fact that Viola Davis is perceived as having lost out in other years, does that really matter when it comes to one year and one movie and one set of ballots?
I think it does. When you look back over the history of the Oscars, there are a variety of people who you can say should have won for a particular role, but they won for something that wasn't as stellar. And so we find a lot that people say that when someone has been passed over a number of times for great deserving work, when they absolutely have a role that you can't deny that they were amazing in, such as Viola in Fences, you have to give it to them. And I think that's another reason why many people say that Viola should have been in the best actress category, because it was just such a tour de force performance that no matter who she's up against, that she would take home the award.
And I think, you know, you can look back, recent history proves this. I mean, Julianne Moore won for Still Alice. And yes, it was a wonderful performance. Mm-hmm. But quite frankly, I believe that the Academy was awarding her for her body of work when they gave her that statue.
Right, right.
I have to make
Denzel Washington.
Right, same with I have to make a correction. We played Sia's Never Give Up from the movie Lion earlier, but the film's score was nominated, not the song. The score was composed by Dustin O'Halloran and Hauschka. And I don't want to, you know, a lot of Hauschka fans were going to write me angry emails, and I just don't want that to happen. Final picks. Who are you feeling pretty strongly about before we say goodbye to the audience this time around? Andrea Mandel.
I do think La La Land is going to win Best Picture, and I will sit in my seat and say I'm not upset about that. I know a lot of people are.
Okay.
But I think Emma Stone will take Best Actress. I think Denzel will take Best Supporting Actor. Denzel will take Best Actor, and I think Mahershala Ali will take Best Supporting Actor.
And quickly, Trevelle.
I agree with everything. I hope Moonlight just gives us an upset, and I hope definitely they take away the Best Adapted Screenplay for Terrell Alvin McCraney and Barry Jenkins.
That's Trevelle Anderson, film reporter for the Los Angeles Times. He was with me along with Andrea Mandel, West Coast Entertainment Editor for USA Today. Continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpoint.org. Coming up, Age of Anger. We'll talk with big thinker Pankaj Mishra about the roots of today's anger. He says it's been a long time coming. I'm Ray Suarez, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.